Welcome to Chew On This, where we believe your health is in your hands right before it's in your mouth. When we come back, we'll be talking to Janie Burns and Lee Rice of the new Boise Farmers Market. Janie Burns of Meadowlark Farms and Lee Rice of Rice Family Farms are two of the farmers who are leaving the Capital City Farmers Market for the new Boise Farmers Market, which is local food and agriculture based. Stay tuned to Chew On This. Welcome back. On today's Chew On This, Janie Burns and Lee Rice from the new Boise Farmers Market are joining me in the studio to tell us what's going on in Boise with local food. Janie, you seem to have become the spokesperson for this market, whether you like it or not. I hear you're having a lot of people call you up and ask what it takes to get into the market. So what are the parameters of this new market?
Well, it's very exciting to be the person who kind of gets the initial calls. I'm really blessed to be working with some great people in organizing this market. We've really wanted to be food and local ag centric, meaning that we're focusing on what's produced right here. So farmers are welcome to come with their goods. They have to produce it all themselves, however. So it's 100% producer. And then if you are a specialty food or a value-added producer, you have to do the work. You have to create the recipe or whatever it is. And this year, unlike other markets, we're doing something new. We are requiring that local food be used as an ingredient in at least one of the products. So if you were to buy, if you were to want some local jelly, for example, you would be able to find at least one jelly in the market that's from local ingredients. And we hope to increase that percentage over the years until the entire market is full of local food. That keeps our money here, it keeps business working between ourselves, and it gives the customer confidence that what they're buying is local and that there's a great array of food available.
That's great. Now, both of you are predominant farmers at the current market. You can find Lee on the corner of Idaho and 8th Street, and Janie's just one-stop shopping off that next to Peaceful Belly selling lamb. And I'm wondering, are you going to keep a booth at the Capital City Market as well as a new booth at the Boise Market, the two of you? Because I've heard a few farmers are doing two booths.
Yes, we've heard that there are a couple of vendors or farmers that are going to have a booth at both markets, but we at Rice Farms won't be doing that. We've found that it's enough work to attend one market without, you know, setting up two different places. So we'll just be attending and concentrating on the new Boise Farmers Market.
Same for you, Janie.
Same for me. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make this a farmer's market so that the customers know that that's where they're going to get food and ag. Mm-hmm. We realized when we started putting this market together that we had not been doing our customers a service, that many people had stopped coming to the Capital City Public Market. It was too crowded, parking was too onerous, or, you know, there's a thousand reasons. And everyone that I've talked to since we started publicizing this market has said, you know, I'm going to come because I want to buy food and I want it to be easy. And so I think the farmers that come to that market will find that their customers are there waiting for them too.
And Lee, what was your decision based on?
Well, our decision was based a lot on what we've been hearing from our customers the last 3 or 4 years. We kept hearing more and more of our customers say it was becoming more and more crowded at the Capital City Market and a little bit harder for them to get their food in a timely manner, and a little more difficult with all the vendors down there of finding the farmers that they wanted to find. So, and then we also kept hearing from people that weren't coming to the market. A lot of people that we knew, friends and other customers that come out to the farm, telling us that they didn't come downtown because of the crowd and the inconvenience of the parking and a couple other things. But, you know, we hope that this new market, we will have answered a couple of those questions, and that they'll still come downtown and be able to park a little bit closer to the market and be able to access their food within a couple, 3 hours and go home and go on about their Saturday business. Because that's really, there's a lot of customers that they do enjoy the art and all the other things that are a part of a broader base market, but then there's quite a customer base that they just want to come down and shop for food and go home and go on about their Saturday business.
Mm-hmm. So the suspense is killing the listenership. Where is the new farmers market going to be located, and what makes it so easy to access?
We're going to be on the north half of a whole city surface parking lot between Front and Grove, 10th and 11th. So it's not far off downtown. It's very visible. We have some future plans to make it more of a year-round market. You can't have a year-round market in a parking lot. And I say that looking back at last January, when no one wanted to be outside when it was below zero. But we do have long-term plans, and so we're looking at this as a temporary place for this year.
Great. And so that would be accessible from Front Street, as if you were going to go on to the connector. You would just turn right off Front Street onto between 10th and 11th.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So without getting too political, another piece that I've heard about with why some of why this farmers market had developed is that there was a recommendation from the farmers that at the Capital City Public Market there be a third party auditor to audit the farms, so that the public could feel safe that they were buying actual local produce. And for whatever jumble of reasons, that decision was vetoed. Can you speak to that a little bit?
That was discussed, I think, about 2 years ago by the Capital City Public Market Board. And then there was some opposition to it by some of the vendors and some of the growers, and so it went by the wayside. We aren't necessarily going to have a third-party audit, but we are going to have a committee that will be established to vet the agricultural vendors and all the vendors, is for that matter, with just a visit. And, you know, nothing on the lines of an audit, just a visit to verify that they are producing or have the capabilities of producing what they say that they're going to sell at the market. And hopefully that will be enough to assure our customers that you know, we're going that extra step to assure them that the products that are being sold down there are being produced by the producers as they say they are.
And if I could jump in and say that there's been a lot of news from around the country of farmers markets not being what they say they are, that the products are being sold and resold, and the customer believes that they're buying it from the person who's selling it. They believe that the farmer who's selling it is growing it. And so we believe that's very important to have that trust and that authenticity. And so we are making that a condition of you coming to the market. If you're not willing to have someone come and see if you are growing what you say you are, then you shouldn't come to that market.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more to Janie Burns and Lee Rice, two members of the new, opening soon, April 6th.
That's right.
Boise Farmers Market. Stay tuned to Chew on This. If you're just joining us, my guests are Janie Burns and Lee Rice of the new Boise Farmers Market. This market is going to be located on Front Street between 10th and 11th and begins April 6th of this coming season. The market is focused on local food and agriculture and plans to be an easily accessible place for you to shop for all of your local food needs each Saturday. Janie, how many people are going to be at this market? How many vendors?
Well, the opening day, April 6th, we're hoping for a few people, a few vendors. That's really early, but we're hoping for people with bedding plants. And, of course, I'll be there with some lamb and eggs. We'll have several, most of the meat vendors will be there. Malheur River Meats, Homestead Natural Foods, Triangle Sea Meats, H&H Tomatoes will be there with their greenhouse tomatoes. Lee, help me out here with who might be there the very first day. We have a lot of people coming.
How about Matthews?
Throughout the season. Matthews Meats will be there, and Honey.
Well, Bart and Elaine will probably be there with
Next Generation Organics with bedding plants.
Next Generation Organics.
I have to say, I get my plants from them every year. And those plants grow.
And Peaceful Belly will be there. The Jelly Lady, the Riverview Gardens.
Yeah, Riverview Gardens usually has some early produce out of their hoop houses. We might have some. I'm not certain that we're going to quite make April 6th. We might be a couple weeks.
I have a feeling you'll be down there, though.
Might have to just show up to greet all the customers.
On. Yeah, that's right. You'll be the greeter.
Ballard Cheese will be there. They're going to be there once a month. They're cutting back on their farmers markets. Sweet Valley Organics, Crystal Gardens, Cucina di Paolo, Big Lost River Meats. That's the sausage guy. Marjorie June's, Rolling Stone Chev, Cafe de Paris for bread, The Scented Room, T&S Metals, Purple Sage Farm, Glenn's Gardens, Coto Farms. We have
Purple Sage Farms. They'll probably have some early
herbs.
Yeah, because they have greenhouses, so they're selling through Idaho's Bounty right now.
Right.
They're just getting their spinach in. And
I think there'll be a nice assortment of vendors there. There'll be bread and tomatoes and herbs and bedding plants and meat and cheese. There'll be a lot to choose from. It won't be the peak of the season, but when the peak of the season comes, we'll have Smith's Berry Farm, Kelly Orchards will come. There'll be fruit. It'll be a farmer's market. We also hope to have some prepared food that's made from food grown by the vendors or locally grown, so that when you come and want a snack, we'll have something there for you to eat from local sources. The coffee, that's going to be tough.
That is my next addictive personality question.
We will have coffee, and we also want to talk about being sustainable as well. That's an important piece of conversation that we don't have in our community. So we hope to have in the upcoming years a scorecard in which vendors will talk about how they're being sustainable. What are they doing? What can we talk about? Mm. We will have prepared food there. We will... We know that people want to hang around, so we'll have chairs.
And the requirement is that for the prepared food that you start off this season, you're in if you're using one local ingredient. So say you made pizzas, as long as you're using Ballard cheese on your pizzas, you're in.
Right. But we would really want you to use so much more, and we think the customers will demand it. So we're creating the demand, and we think that's important.
And I really like this scorecard idea, especially around things like poultry and eggs. And there's so many things to watch out for, and there's so many different labeling techniques that especially mainstream commercial marketing are using, all natural and things that don't really hold their weight. So that scorecard will be a really cool feature to help people suss out what they should be looking for.
Well, don't look for it this year. We're still working on it. But I think it's important to with as you mentioned, all the labeling that we are overwhelmed with, a real quick assessment of what are people doing? How sustainable relative to other people are they? So. Mm-hmm.
What I've enjoyed about the farmers market in the past is getting to know you guys, of course, and all the other farmers. And the Capital City Market has become busy, and I feel like I'm taking away from your business when I'm there trying to chat with you, but it's such a one-stop shop for getting to know your farmer. So it'll be nice to have a new atmosphere that is a little looser, that is food-centric, and people can really stop and meet you, because a lot of it is relationship-based. Beyond just product based.
That's a really good point. And in recent years, I know our farm, I've tried to devote time just to talking with the customers and answering
all
their questions.
You like to talk to the customers? That's what Lee does. Lee is the front man. He's the social butterfly of his booth.
That he is.
well, a team of people. It's fly hard. Behind you and sell stuff, and
It's hard for me not to answer people's questions, especially about growing things. So.
Yeah, that's the important piece, you know, and finding out what else you grow and what's coming soon, and you know, sometimes the farmers have half of what they grow, and then seasonally changes. So knowing what's coming soon from them and what to look for, and it's great.
The food at the market is in several different categories. So there's the raw food that you buy right from the farmer, and you take that home and you work with it. And then there's the what we call value-added food, where it's a jam or a jelly or a jerky or a sausage or something that you could do, but you're going to buy there, but you're going to take it home and eat it. And then there's on-site prepared food. And we have Cucino Di Paolo has just recently bought a trailer that we hope will turn into a market meal trailer. And that's not the right term for it. It might come out with something much more sexy and appealing than that. But Paul and Mary Jean have indicated that they would buy from the local vendors there at the market and create a meal, a sit-down little breakfast item, or maybe a little brunch item, that's all from the market. A pretty limited menu, but you would be able to taste the market, essentially. So we're encouraging that. That would be kind of the meal at the market. We also have some inquiries from a wood-fired pizza oven, a food truck, a crepe cart. We have to maintain a balance, of course, so I don't know how far all of this will go. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of inquiries, and they're very exciting because all of them want to use local food, and this is kind of new. And so we're creating a new market, I think, for them and a new audience for their food.
Mm-hmm. You're setting the stage for the local food movement. You're setting the table.
Well, I think it's a unique opportunity to rethink what a farmer's market should be in the 21st century. You know, had we not had this opportunity, we would just be kind of still humming along, doing our own thing, and kind of in a rut. Well, now we say, well, what should we be doing in the 21st century to be a model for the community food that we need to be eating and supporting? So we've really been thoughtful about the possibilities, and they're endless.
How is the infrastructure set up? Is it set up similar to Capital City Public Market, the new Boise Farmers Market, with a board and a president, or I don't even know how Capital City was set up, honestly?
Yes, we have an interim board of directors at the moment until we have our annual meeting, and we are paying very close attention to the organization of the market to be very responsive to the membership. That is one of the issues that kind of drove us away from Capital City. We didn't feel that our voice was being listened to, that the farmers' needs weren't being addressed. Our customers' needs clearly weren't being addressed. So we think that we've put a solid legal structure in place, and we're very excited about the future of it.
And I think the way it's structured, it'll also require the membership to be more involved, as kind of a trade-off for being more involved. They're going to be asked to serve on probably more committees and be involved with decisions that those committees make and recommendations that those committees make to the board.
You asked for your voices to be heard, and now you're really going to get a voice. You're going to be running exactly. The place cooperatively.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's an important thought, is to say that we're doing it cooperatively, because I've always thought that I can't survive without everybody else being at the market. I mean, I could set up on a street corner and I'd get a little bit of traffic, but there's a lot of power with Lee being there, and he brings his customers and some of them are mine. And then you've got all these other people who are coming to see other vendors. And it just creates a great environment in which we all can sell our product and the community has a great access to the food. And I'm not ashamed to say that I didn't do my job as a vendor at Capital City. I didn't show up. I didn't participate in the organization of the market, and I should have been, because my livelihood depends on it working well. And so I think this group is very committed to participating in the governance of the organization and on committees and really thinking into the future instead of just showing up and selling. Mm-hmm. We want to make
You weren't doing
difference.
Anything else with the Treasure Valley Food Coalition or any other policy making in the state of Idaho for the local food movement.
Well, it diverted my attention, and so I'm really ashamed of that. I should have been paying attention. But this gives us a brand new opportunity to really think about how we all will make a whole that's greater than the sum of the parts.
I think it'll open up some opportunities with most of the vendors being food vendors and the market being more food centric. I think it's going to surprise us some of the ideas that'll probably develop in the next year or two mm-hmm. for the market.
And you said that this is a temporary location?
Yes, it is.
See how it goes. And
well, one of our long-term goals is to have a year-round market. Mm-hmm. Now, personally, I am not interested in getting up every Saturday and selling. I like the break, but consumers eat. We all eat every day of the year, and people really miss the access to local food. So what that year-round market might be is a place in the winter where you go and the farmer's goods are there, but maybe the farmer's not there all the time, not like the summer. So how can we do that? Well, we need an indoor space. And we are working on some ideas that might provide that opportunity. It would also open up a market season for people who want to grow in greenhouses and have a place to sell it during the winter.
Mm-hmm. And that is being encouraged as the next piece of the local food movement is extending the season.
Right. And you can only really extend the season if you have a good market. You know, there's really no point in digging carrots on a cold November day if no one's going to buy it, or the money that you might get for it is not anything. That was so musical, Lee.
That's so wrong.
That's the first time. It's pretty good in a year.
Anyway, that it is a temporary location because a parking lot is fine for what it is, but farmers markets are economic engines. We create other businesses surrounding us, and you know that particular area of Boise is suitable this year, but we want to be an economic engine and go into a neighborhood. We have one in mind and help to revitalize it. And no, I can't tell you what it is until we're a little further down the line.
I can't wait to talk about that off the record in a minute. You're listening to Chew on This, where we believe your health is in your hands right before it's in your mouth. When we return, we'll talk more to Janie Burns and Lee Rice of the new Boise Farmers Market starting this April 6th, 2013. You are listening to Chew on This. Today, our guests are Janie Burns and Lee Rice of the new Boise Farmers Market, which is actually just called the Boise Farmers Market. I'm just calling it the new one so that everyone knows that it's a market other than the Capital City Public Market, which they have been frequenting on Saturday mornings in downtown Boise. The new market will be located on Front Street between 10th and 11th and will be occupying the same time period as the other market, so you can actually go to both of them and get a taste of both markets. They're very close together. And Lee, can you tell me, aside from the local agriculture that you're trying to encourage here at the market, what else is being encouraged as far as bringing in new blood?
One of the things that we talked about quite a bit as a board when we were forming this market was we were hoping that in forming a more food-centric market and a more accessible market that we would be able to encourage younger farmers and new farmers to the market. So that's one of our main goals.
There are a lot of young farmers now. I had a whole show called The Young Farmers, and I had four under 30-year-old farmers come in and talk about what they were specifically doing and how hard it was and how it's, you know, how lucky they were to actually have a little bit of a foothold or a little bit of a lucky strike in getting involved. So that's great that you're encouraging the new generation.
Yes. You know, when a young farmer's starting out, it's important. A lot of times they don't have the kind of capital that older farmers have. And it's important for them to have a really good, viable marketplace where they can get a retail, sell their product at retail to help them with capital improvements. So, it's not easy getting started as a farmer, so we're hoping that this market will be a vehicle to encourage young farmers to go on.
So where can we find more information about the Boise Farmers Market?
We have a website, theboisefarmersmarket.com. We also have a Facebook page, The Boise Farmers Market, and we encourage you to go visit theboisefarmersmarket.com and learn about who the vendors are and all kinds of information about the market.
And the market begins next week, April 6th.
Rain or shine.
Rain or shine, starting at what time?
9 o'clock, 9 to 1, and we will go until the end of October. In that location, we'll be looking for an indoor location for the November and December months.
Janie and Lee, thanks so much for coming in. Happy Easter.
Bok bok. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
You can find more information about the Boise Farmers Market at theboisefarmersmarket.com. You can also find links and listen to the audio recording of this and past shows at chewonthisidaho.com. This is your host, Kim Metis, and you've been listening to Chew on This, where we believe your health is in your hands right before it's in your mouth. Oh, you're chicken.